Recently, Germany's highest civil court has granted the parents of a deceased girl full access of her Facebook account under the inheritance law. This is a refusal of a ruling last year that said doing so would be a privacy violation, as any contract between their daughter and the company immediately ended with her death. So yes, we are talking about a news story that happened in Germany, and it's one of the first legal battles that's taking place, and it'll have some implications for similar cases around the world. So first of all, guys, tell us a bit more about this tough legal battle that went on for 5 years about digital assets.
Well, a little history from me, although a little sad part of human history. This is what happened in Germany in 2012. A 15-year-old girl died after being hit by a subway train. And apparently her parents was very sad. Mm-hmm. And one of their concerns was to find out whether she did it to kill herself. Or it was an accident. And to find out more about it, they sought access to the girl's social network accounts like Facebook to see whether she talked about it, if she wanted to commit suicide, whether she talked about it with other friends on social media. And that's when they had the idea to sort of access the information on Facebook. However, Facebook had put her profile into a memorial state. And this is what happened when a user of their account unfortunately dies. They put your account in a memorial state, limiting what they could see, what the parents could see, even though they had their login details, namely they have their login email or their passwords. After the parents launched a legal battle to retrieve their daughter's messages, they initially got a Berlin district court to back them in 2015. However, Berlin's appellate court sided with Facebook in accordance with German privacy law, saying the parents could only have access in case of technical necessity or with the account holder's consent. And then sadly, since the account holder had passed away, there's no way to gain the consent, and therefore they were denied access. And then the latest development on June 12, 2018, the Federal Court of Justice overturned that ruling, saying digital content should be treated in the same way as letters and diaries, which are passed on to heirs. Well, personally, I have a little disagreement with the latest ruling, although it is strongly in favor of the parents who want so much to find out what really happened. I think of social network, something like Facebook, as a place where people hold private dialogues. I mean, it's not just where you post pictures for everyone to see. I mean, for that part, it's okay to be shared with your parents. As for the conversation, say, this girl may have a little crush with a fellow classmate, and then she was talking about it with another fellow classmate. I don't fancy she would have wanted her parents to know that private conversation. Likewise, when we use social media, we talk about private stuff with our friends on social media, and we don't necessarily want our parents to have access to that part of a conversation. Also, even though this little girl had passed away, there are people who are still alive who have talked to this girl, and they should have a right to their own privacy, in the sense that they should take it for granted that whatever private conversation they had with the little girl should stay private.
You know, being on Facebook since I started college, because back then you needed a college ID to register your Facebook. It was so much more of a basic Facebook, all right? It was really just posting, and your timeline would grow with the more posts you had about things you're doing. Just could have been whatever, right? Or a status update. Now all these things are so second nature, but I remember back then, these were kind of a, you know, everybody was talking about it, and it was a relatively new thing. So as I kind of grew with Facebook, and Facebook grew with the United States and other parts of the world, I'm sure other people have experienced what I'm about to talk about and what I think, you know, social media companies have problems with is digital lasts forever. Unfortunately, organic, we people do not. When we project ourselves on a social media, we project a part of ourselves, whatever, how big a part, on a platform that doesn't know age, that doesn't know the need to have health, or, you know, can get hacked, of course. It's open to dangers, but not the kind of dangers like we are when we don't have, you know, the social media. I remember there was this guy I went to high school with. His name was Ryan Stewart. And we've known each other, I think, since almost... we had gone to elementary school together. We were never close friends, but we always knew each other. Mm-hmm. And we were both Ryans. So we're like Ryan Stewart and Ryan Price. You know, in every class, we were the two Ryans. He was a cool kid. Oh, a sports guy. I liked him. And we went to college. I had a few classes with him. And I think while I was maybe over here in China for a year, but right before I came, I found out that he died. He overdosed on something. And I met his parents. They were sweet people. And I saw just on the Facebook, his page, almost like a vigil of people commenting and saying, you know, oh my God, best wishes to your family. And it was kind of eerie for me because I would scroll down and I could see just moments before he died, that night or that day, what he was posting, what he was thinking, who Ryan was up until the moment he passed away, and then his activity just stopped, and it was this kind of memorialness. But you get an idea of the person he was right before he died by seeing like the posts. Maybe he went to the park with friends or did something X, Y, and Z. And it's like looking at the past, a very visceral past, like a ghost of a human. So I do want to say that recently Facebook has adjusted terms of what they're calling a legacy contact, allowing parents or guarantors of deceased teenagers to become their legacy contact. I guess having the ability to have access to that information so they can understand what's going on with their kid or what maybe happened that led to this or something. But here's the big thing. Despite this, conflict still remains. Just as what I guess a Facebook spokesperson commented on in the case in 2012. These questions, how to weigh the wishes of the relatives and protect the privacy of the third parties, are some of the toughest we've ever confronted. We empathize with the family. At the same time, Facebook accounts are used for a personal exchange between individuals, which we have a duty to protect. So on some level, you know, the thing is, these social medias were never made to contemplate death. Mm-hmm. But now we see people, the part of themselves continues on after they die, and people say, "Hey, let's get access to that. It's just digital. It's just whatever. It's just a Facebook." And we're kind of deciding what the value of a digital asset is, because it's not real. It's not like a bunch of money I'm holding in my hand. But it is there, and sometimes information is just as lucrative as anything else. And digital assets can be things like your Facebook. It can be software in the form of code, even, or deployed services, information in databases, designs that you leave on your computer. Mm-hmm. It comes in many different ways.
Yes, and that is, I think that's a really good point. That's pointing at the very complex nature of digital assets, and we even found it could be quite difficult to come up with an accurate definition of what it entails and includes. And when you look at the situation here in China, not only are people using social media, but sometimes I feel that our smartphones become possibly the most important
organ.
Or device and document ever, because it's got the record of everything you do on the internet. And also we conduct so many of our financial activities online too. So
very true.
People buy stocks and shares, people buy financial products, long-term, short-term, and people use their smartphones to transfer money between accounts, so many things.
And they use it to borrow money.
And borrow money, or even place a bet on something.
Mm-hmm.
And so there could be money coming in, money going out. One person could be in debt. And if this person passes away, what do you do with all of this unfinished business? And Ryan, you make a very good point that when all of this digital development unfolds before our very eyes, nobody's thinking about one day this person will no longer be living on Earth.
You're right. And in fact, I don't necessarily have an answer for you, Hyung, because I think that it's a tough one for even the governments to decide on. Because from a person-to-person level, this could easily be solved. Lai Ming, what would you like to have done? Okay, we'll have that done. Blah, 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 blah. Almost like this kind of will situation,
mm-hmm.
right? But when you're making laws, you have to make laws for everybody, and death is a taboo subject, and so many different things come to play when it comes to parents and their kids or whoever passed away. So what I'm saying is the legal situation on digital inheritance, right? That is receiving the information or bank account or digital money or cryptocurrency of someone you're related to. In the United States, the legal situation on that digital inheritance is there is no federal laws regulating the inheritance of digital assets. However, some states have passed laws addressing this issue. In August, in fact, of 2014, Delaware surprisingly became the first U.S. state to enact a law that enabled family members to have access to dead relatives' digital accounts. Okay, so the U.S. has no federal, you know, federal's the law of the land, the United States. Each mm-hmm. state can have their own law. Federal's kind of dictates the whole country. Federal can't really deal with this. Facebook's kind of like these new things. When we created social media, we created this beast never knowing this kind of people would start dying and this would become maybe something we'd talk about. And in fact, Christian Pfaff, an intellectual property lawyer in Berlin, said this, and I like the way he put it. Death is always a difficult theme for these companies, i.e. social media companies. It's never in their plans when they start social networks, but it's a problem. They don't know how to react to death. I think companies have to create some kind of routine to handle this. They'll just say, no, it's not allowed, or we just don't want to because of data protection or other casework that would help. But basically saying, you know, not only do I feel this taboo feeling when I look at Ryan Stewart's profile that's still there today. You know, I can still see his last post, a very visceral display of who that man was. But on top of that, you know, the website, Facebook, doesn't know how to deal with that. As soon as someone dies, you know, they're just now coming out with these legacy contracts or memorial, turning pages into memorials and stuff. But maybe there's this gap of 24 hours or X hours that, you know, Facebook doesn't know this person's dead and this account just carries on like normal and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of weird taboo stuff going on here.
Yes, and China is a country that certainly treats death even more as a taboo topic than some of the other cultures. And in China, and on Roundtable, we've talked about people's willingness of writing a will needs some persuasion. So, Lai Ming, in light of all of this, what are the current happenings here in China, and how are we dealing with the digital inheritance issue?
After someone's death, his digital legacy, like Alipay and check, has to be repaid by his inheritor, which is a compelling obligation. And if the inheritor fails to pay back, then he might be accused. As for social media accounts such as QQ and WeChat, there's no specific law or regulation yet. And there were also many disputes over the information data involving privacy. Until October the 1st, 2017, the latest general provision of the civil law was issued, according to Article 127, where there are any provisions on protection of data and network virtual property, such provisions shall apply. And this article lays a foundation for of protecting digital assets by legislation. And I've been thinking about this issue too. I mean, how do the entire industry go about forming a regulation or a rule as to how to deal with those inheritance? And I think what's important is that internet that transcends national borders, and I think that's important that every country that sort of have the internet infrastructure to try and work together to establish a consensus. And the first consensus that I think they can establish is to have a classification of the digital inheritance that people leave behind when they pass. I mean, there are contents, like I mentioned, social media, social network that we talk in private, and then there are items that people share willingly to the general public for everyone to see. And there are financial stuff, the money we keep on Alipay, on WeChat, or the debt that we take. How do we deal with those things? And ownership. And also, one important thing is China is different, perhaps somewhat, from Western countries, in the sense that some people use social media as a means to make profit. We often see that there are high-profile celebrities who have sometimes fans of about millions, and oftentimes when they are alive, and I hope they stay so and stay healthy, they try and benefit from a large group of followers by issuing or publishing adverts on their social network and make a lot of money. And what happens to their accounts? I mean, in this sense, the number of fans to some extent is considered the asset. And what happens to these accounts are obviously very valuable accounts. And what happens to them? Who has access to those accounts? Should those be closed down or should be handed to someone else who will take charge of that and continue benefit from such followership? I mean, those are very tricky questions. I mean, perhaps unique to China, but I think all countries have to pool their resources and try to come up with something. And I understand it's difficult, because given the current political landscape, and then countries are trying to fight each other when it comes to trade, and it's really hard for them to really come together and discuss things as trivial yet. I think they might look at those things as something that's trivial, but I think it affects everyone who's on social media, who's online, and I think it deserves our attention.
Yeah, and actually, for anybody who's involved in this, I don't think it's trivial at all. And what's probably going to happen is each different country will come up with their own kind of interpretation.
Or companies.
Yeah, and here companies have a role.
Not necessarily a country, but a company can.
But the country's law will need to be rewritten or added, amended in some way to cope with the...
For sure.
A changing of things, right?
But you have companies like Microsoft or, you know, like their different Hotmail and MSN or Outlook.
Amazon.
That allow you to submit what's called a next of kin request. So it's basically like making a will, saying, hey, if something happens, all my email stuff goes to this person. So companies are coming out with ways to deal with this stuff before... A country that regulates legally the lives of everybody does. You know, it's kind of nice to have just a company that you can choose rather than a law that enforces it, right? Mm. Because then you have some brands like Apple that will not let anyone retrieve their loved one's device's data, all right? They're very strict on that. Personally, for me, though, what I just quickly want to say is, once you're dead, I don't think it would really matter to me what you see. Because I've obviously moved on, but I also think that If I were a young man interested in law, digital law is now the way to go. It is the future. And I think just the talk of assets and so much of this has proven that. And yeah.
Well, Ryan, I actually hold a different view, and I want to see what Lai Ming has to say about this as well. Because if one of my loved ones passed away and has this digital inheritance issue laying in front of me, I would hate to have to deal with different companies on the terms of service to what...
Yeah, but you have to close down credit cards anyways. You have to sell houses. You have to... Yeah. I mean, these are things you're going to have to do. Now it's just also digital.
But there's only so many banks, whereas the social network accounts, there's got to be so many. And one thing about Apple, you spoke like Apple was really paying attention to people's privacy. But what happens when to the software that you buy? I mean, those expensive software that you spent money on, and are they not allowed to be passed on to someone else in your family? I mean, they do have a family plan policy there.
Guys, I would if you ever feel like you're in a life-threatening situation, or just do something like a will with regards to social media if you think it's important enough. I think a lot of places are having that as an availability. But of course, it's no fun to go pick your grave spot before you die. Nobody wants to go say, all right, I'm 30, I'm going to go pick my grave spot and pay for it.
Or maybe
why would I do that? When am I going to do that?
Think about the will, you know. I know.
Yeah, it's not fun to think about that.
Yeah, but maybe necessary. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back.